It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Resveratrol marketers claim that it's this wonderful thing. It's an antioxidant. It can be used as an anti-aging agent, an anti-cancer. Do you have to take it in a supplement form? Can you get it from the foods that it naturally occurs in? My guest is Dr. Steve Anton. He's assistant professor and interim clinical research division chief in the Department of Aging and Geriatric Research at the University of Florida. So, Dr. Anton, tell us a little bit about resveratrol. First, tell the listeners where we might find it in nature, and then whether or not you believe that it really does what it says it does, should we be taking it in supplement form?
Sure. So resveratrol is it's a natural compound. It's a polyphenol, actually, and it's present in a wide variety, well, at least a few foods that many people would recognize, most commonly associated with grapes and red wine, but also present in peanuts, as well as some other less known sources, such as Japanese knotweed. And as you were mentioning, it's demonstrated to have a host of physiological benefits. And over the past decade, tremendous research has been conducted in animal studies, and those findings, you know, range from showing beneficial effects on glucose metabolism, reduction in fat accumulation in the body, to even suggesting that it may have lifespan effects. Recently, human studies seem to show that the promise of animal studies are indeed, they've been validated at least in a few recent human trials in terms of beneficial effects on metabolic parameters.
Have been invalidated, you said?
No, they have been
shown. Oh, they have been validated. Yeah. Because, I mean, you're a researcher in anti-aging and geriatric health, and I'm in geriatric health myself as an exercise physiologist. And when I'm working with my patients, especially my heart patients and most of my older people that I work with, I encourage, at least if not, you know, because they can't all drink wine or eat the grapes, not weed. I'm not thinking they're finding that in there, but, you know, peanuts and such. How do you recommend people really get the amounts that they would possibly need to achieve any of these benefits?
Well, that's a good question. I would say right now that the research suggests that to get the levels that seem to be associated with health improvements, that it's likely you would need a supplement, take it through supplement forms, because the amounts in food and even wine are relatively small compared to what the studies have tested to date. And so that would be my best recommendation at this point in time.
Okay, so people, you know, there's so many on the market. How do you know?
Well, that's a great question. Here, I would always go back to the science, because what I would look for as a consumer is what products have actually been tested in human clinical trials, and ideally have shown demonstrated effects. We actually conducted a trial not too long ago testing a resveratrol product from the company Reservage Organics. And in an older adult sample, I'll be happy to tell you about that or other trials, if you like, whichever you like.
Well, and you know, some of the older adult trials kind of make it a little bit applicable for the people listening. What do the trials and what you found out about the trials mean to them? Not necessarily completely the trial itself, but what can we take away from it?
Sure. What I would say is the trials to date suggest that doses up to 1,000 milligrams per day have been shown to be safe and well-tolerated by older adults, and as well as middle-aged adults, and that they seem to have beneficial effects, in particular on glucose metabolism and metabolic parameters. We also showed some promising findings on cognitive function as well. which is somewhat unique. Yeah.
Well, it is. Not only, okay, so let's first hit the glucose metabolism, because as our rates of diabetes type 2 are rising in this country, and people are finding the insensitivity to, you know, glucose in their systems, do you think that this is something that maybe down the line can be used in these pre-diabetes or people that are maybe prone to it to help them, you know?
Well, I think that certainly the potential appears to be there, and that is a very active area of research with
huge.
Many clinical trials underway. As I was mentioning, the results of initial trials appear promising, and so I think the next step is to conduct even larger trials to verify indeed that this would be the case.
And then you spoke about cognitive function. Now, that's huge as well. And as somebody with an 88-year-old father, and I'm generally trying to ply him with a little red wine here and there, I think that the cognitive function could be huge as well, because, you know, especially in supplement form where it doesn't actually affect the, you know, cognitive function, but where it can be something that can actually help. Is that going toward that research, towards maybe Alzheimer's or dementia prevention, or, you know, putting it off a little bit?
Certainly that's an area of active interest on our end, as well as other researchers. And as I was mentioning, we conducted a study that was funded by the McKnight Brain Institute at the University of Florida with the idea that resveratrol may have that potential to reduce or forestall cognitive decline or even enhance cognitive function in middle-aged and older adults. So I think there's potential there. Our findings suggest that it has that potential, both in terms of activating certain regions of the brain related to memory, as well as enhancing cognitive function in certain domains.
And now, if you're finding, Dr. Anton, that about 1,000 milligrams a day are pretty safe, this older population we're talking about can be on Coumadin and ibuprofen and so many other things. Is there any kind of side effects or interactions?
That's a great question. I think what is needed at this point would be more research to be able to adequately answer that, to really conduct studies with adults taking these medications, and then to test the effects in a well-controlled trial with either a 1,000-milligram dose of resveratrol or multiple doses to see the range of safety.
I imagine that that's going to be sort of the new, you know, things coming up. So people should really stay tuned for the new and very exciting research coming up for resveratrol. In the last 30 or 35 seconds here, why don't you give us your very best advice for resveratrol in all populations and what it can accomplish for people?
My best advice is to continue to review the scientific findings. Human trials to date are suggesting that the benefits extend beyond just metabolic parameters, but also include cellular health. And that the good news is that the positive findings we see in animal trials are being extended to humans, and to always check to see if the products that you're taking have been studied scientifically, so that you can be confident that it has indeed has demonstrative evidence to support the use of that particular product.
Would it say that on the label?
It should, or the companies should inform the consumer about the studies that have been conducted on their product.
Because, I mean, that's always the confusing thing, I know, for people. You could sit there and look for things on the label, but if it's not going to say, then you just really don't know. But, you know, your best advice is really to make sure it's a scientifically based product, look at the labels, and, you know, and then, of course, speak with your doctor before you go on some supplements like that. Thank you so much, Dr. Steve Anton. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go to RadioMD.com. Scroll around and learn something with us. We have lots of information, so check it out. This is Melanie Cole for RadioMD.com. Stay well.